scripture reading this morning is from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Record this vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right with him, but the righteous will live by his faith."
Good morning. If you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know the only way that you can be in the presence of the Father is through your faith, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. God is good. We're going to be in Habakkuk, and we're going to take our time as we go through this. We're going to be in the book of Habakkuk. That is Old Testament. There are times in our lives when our faith becomes weak. Definitely weak, and it shows, and where it manifests itself in the way that we live, the lifestyle that we live. It shows in the way that we ask God in ways to help us. It also shows in our service and in the way we submit and revere God and respect Him. When our faith is weak, we begin to doubt God. We just doubt Him. Doubt Him in all different areas. We doubt the way He works in our lives. We also doubt the way He works in others' lives as well. You can just take a look. Look at your homes. Look at your communities. Look at the neighborhoods around you. Look at the cities. Look at the country. Look at our nation. Look at the world. Sometimes when we look out, we think, "Is God really at work?" And we begin to doubt. And sometimes our faith becomes weak. And we look at all the bloodshed, the violence, the unjust gain, the lying, the stealing, all this. And you know, in this world, sometimes it seems like the things that are shameful, we elevate them and we glorify the struggle. We glorify those things that should never be glorified. And then sometimes it seems so backwards, and it seems the things that are honorable and respectable and we should be adoring, those things are the ones we hold low, and we kind of keep those covered up. And sometimes to ourselves, it seems like, you know, this humble road, this kindness, this love that I'm supposed to be expressing toward God, this ain't working. It doesn't seem like we're winning. It definitely doesn't pay off at times, it seems, right? Amen?
Amen.
It seems like it doesn't pay off. I know some of us in here has worked our whole lives, lost jobs, working hard, and then it's like, where am I at now? Like, I've been working hard my whole life. And there's some that just have fun doing what they do. We call it entertainment. And they're making everything. And they're doing everything. And they have everything they need while we work hard and struggle. And it seems, God, I want to know, if this is it, there better be something. There better be something after this. And we begin to doubt. We begin to lose faith at times. Our faith becomes, if we don't lose faith, it becomes weak at times. And we begin to doubt. And when we begin to doubt, then we begin to question God. And we begin to question His activity or His inaction. God, what are you doing in all this? Are you going to do something? I'm getting tired of seeing all the violence, the bloodshed, the unjust gain, all of it. I'm tired of seeing it. When are you going to do something? And the thing is, you're not alone. You're definitely not alone. And if you look at the book of Habakkuk definitely, we can definitely see the way he questioned God. He questioned God's method of his actions, and God answered him, and God treated him in a special way as well. And I think we can learn a lot from the book of Habakkuk, and we can definitely be encouraged from the book of Habakkuk. And I want us to be there. So we're going to be in Habakkuk chapter 1. The name Habakkuk means to embrace, and Habakkuk is definitely going to have to embrace. And I think embrace God, and we are going to have to strive to do the same, embracing God and who He is and what He does for us. The state of Israel is everything we've been describing. The state of Israel at this time, unjust gain, there's violence. It seems like the law is being perverted. It's just a lot of, there's just no justice. And this book is written, Habakkuk writes around, he prophesies around 607 B.C. to 600 B.C. And this is, we're going to jump right in. And Habakkuk had a huge burden on his heart. The same as some of us in this room today. We have a huge, huge burden on our heart. Have we ever had burdens on our hearts? Amen, if we've had burdens on our hearts. Some of you guys are like, amen, I got a burden on my heart right now, right? Some of us have burdens, and I want us to look at Habakkuk. It says this. This is burden on his heart. He says, the oracle which Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Verse 2, he says, how long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on the wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists, contentions arise. Therefore the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. God, when are you going to do something? You ain't doing anything, what I'm saying is what Habakkuk's saying. When are you going to do something? And sometimes our faith gets weak and we ask the same questions. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
We ask that question, God, when are you going to do something? And one of the things, I think one of the symptoms that we suffer from, and I'm speaking to everybody, everybody's subject to this. I'm this subject, everybody's subject to this. And we, there's times when I believe a true symptom of this questioning and doubting God, it starts within self. Because look at this, look at verses 1 through 4. He says, how long, O Lord, will I, the itis, I call for help? I cry out to you, violence. Verse 3, why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on this wickedness? He says, violence is before me. God, I'm struggling here like no one else is struggling. And he's talking about, he's not talking about the other people outside. He's talking about the Jewish people right here. He's talking about he's talking about Judah. He says, we see the law upheld within ourselves and nothing's being done. Our own people, the Jewish people, aren't even following. These people, they're not even following God's law. It's perverted. So he's asking, he's questioning, Habakkuk is questioning. And we're just going to be on the surface today. But he goes to verse 5, he says, then God answers and says, look among the nations and observe. Be astonished. Wonder, because I'm going to do something in your days you would not believe if you were told. Oh boy. This word wonder is a fear that is resulting from an awareness of danger. So he says, I want you to be aware and wonder, because something is going to come. Verse 6, 4, behold, here it is, behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans. Oh boy, those are a Gentile people. And if you know the history, the Gentiles definitely don't get along with the Jews. Definitely don't get along with the Jews. So there's contention. There's going to be something that, you know, those are the yucky people. We don't respect them, God. You can't discipline us with those people. We don't even respect those people. For behold, I am rising up the Chaldeans, these Gentile people, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places, which are not theirs. Verse 7, they are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. They come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings and rulers and are laughing mad. They are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at the every fortress and they heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. Lowercase g, their God. Do we not ask ourselves a question? God, when are you going to do something? We've seen some things on an individual level that are just disgusting and filthy. And how could this even... How do we go from the Garden of Eden where everything, God, you created so good, And we're here now where it's so defiled, and how did we get here? And we ask those questions like he's asking. Justice isn't upheld. I see all the things that are going on, God. Do something about it. That's kind of a arrogant statement. That's words without knowledge. God, do something. Whoa, time out now. Then he goes on in verse 12. He says, we see the doubting in Habakkuk. He says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, right? And you, O rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil. Listen, you've been to the tabernacle. This is God's people. This is a prophet of God. That's like us. God, you can't approve what's good, right? We know God doesn't approve what's good. Amen? We know good and well God does not approve what is evil. So why do we doubt that he does? Why? And then we start questioning. Here's that questioning. Here it comes. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look with wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous than they? Why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all them up with the hook, drag them away with the net, and gather them together in the fish net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Why are you letting these people, Lord, come through and capture everything and take over everything that we why? We're your people, God. I know I asked you, you needed to do, I know, God, I told you to do something and I needed you to do it, but can we do it a different way? Just a little different way. We've been there, haven't we? Controlling is all get out, right? I'm looking at some of y'all right now. I know some of y'all are controlling. I know some of y'all understand this. But we want God to do it a certain way. We want him to do it our way. But then when we have this doubt in us, and it doesn't seem like God's getting the job done, his inaction, he's not producing anything. Verse 16, therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net. God, they don't even believe in you. And you're going to let them take over? And burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their nets and continually slay nations without sparing? Habakkuk is, I'm outdone, God. I don't even know what to do. I'm worn out. I'm tired of seeing all the good people be trashed on. I'm tired of seeing all these people who are arrogant, prideful. You're raising them up. I'm sick of it. When are you? You know what, God? I need answers. My faith is weak. Chapter 2, he says, I will stand on my guard post. This is Habakkuk speaking. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch. I will keep watch. That's our job right there, keeping watch to see what he will say to us and how we can be obedient. And I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, uh-oh, God is coming. God is about to answer him. He says this, listen, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. God is speaking. There it is. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, verse 4, chapter 2, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Amen? The righteous will live by his faith. And this is where we want to camp out for just a second. The righteous will live by his faith. How? How will the righteous live by his faith? In the way we ask God. The righteous will live by our faith in the way we ask of God. Not in an arrogant way, but we need to humble ourselves and ask God humbly, what is it that you need us to do in order to be saved by our faith in you, Christ, in God? What shall we do? We're going to wait. We're going to keep watch. We're going to listen for your voice so that we can act. And we can listen to what you say, because you don't do what we say. Basic stuff. how we live by our faith and the way our lifestyle is. He's about to jump into it. Look at verses 5. He says, furthermore, or verse 6, will not all of these take up a taunt song against him, even mockery and insinuations about against him, and say, woe to him who increases what is not his? For how long? How can you increase what's not yours? I mean, how long does that last? How do you get rich on credit? If you got credit cards, you ain't rich. You might got a lot of stuff, but you're definitely not rich. How can you be rich on credit? He says, or he doesn't say. He says, woe to him! How do you increase what is not his? For how long, and make himself rich with loans? Will not your creditors arise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them, because you have looted many nations. And this is what God's controlling. God is always in control of the situation, because you have looted many nations. All the remainder of the peoples will loot you because of your human bloodshed and violence done to the land. Haven't you heard this reoccurring word? Violence, violence, violence. What are we seeing today? Violence, violence, violence. Verse 9, woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to put his nest on high, to be delivered from the hand of calamity. How are you going to steal and lie and cheat people, get rich, try to live in a gated, or not gated community, but live in an area where no one can get to you? How are you going to, you can't, God doesn't approve that. Reap what you sow. You can't sow evil and expect good. Verse 10, you have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off many peoples. So you are sinning against yourself. Surely the stone will cry out from the wall, and the rafters will answer it from the framework. So even the things that you have, that you possess, will speak against you in the end. How can you reap evil and expect good? I think we do that at times, don't we? We have evil. Some people are okay. You're gonna say, I'm not evil, but I have bad intentions at times. And I don't want somebody to succeed, and I can't wait to see them fail because they didn't do what I told them to do, how to do it. Wait till it. You know, we have those that human nature. Verse 12: woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and founds a town with violence. Is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts the peoples toil for fire and nations grow weary for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as water covers the sea. Wow, that's beautiful terminology. That's poetic. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Man. God is still in control, and there are people out there that are lost that can still be found. And God is just disciplining his people, and he's actually giving them time to repent so he can have a remnant. God always leaves a remnant, those who are left over. Verse 15, woe to you who makes your neighbors drink, who mix in venom, even to make them drunk so as to look on their nakedness, taking advantage of your neighbor. We can't do that. Verse 17, for the violence done in Lebanon, he says, violence, violence, violence. Look at verse 18, what profit is the idol? Sometimes we lose faith, our faith becomes weak, and we put our faith in other things that we should never be putting our faith in. Amen? We put our faith in things we should never be putting our faith in. One of the things I put my faith in is myself. I put my faith in myself and I fail. You put your faith in yourself and you fail. We're in this together. We're all trying to remain obedient to God. We've all been there. He says, what profit is the idol when the maker has carved it? How are you going to carve something, an image, Quentin? Or in your head, create this image of this self-secure, this security within yourself. You've created it yourself. How do I worship what I've created? What profit is the idol when its maker has carved it? Or an image, a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork when he fashions speechless idols. What? Verse 19, woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, and to a mute stone, arise. And that is your teacher? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside of it. We put our faith in things We put our faith in our finances. We put our faith in ourselves. We put our faith in our parents sometimes. We put our faith in our... We put our faith in a lot of things that do not matter, and they have no breath in them at all. Sometimes we put our faith in the name of the Church of Christ. Sometimes we put our faith in coming to the building. I go to that building every Sunday. Whoop-de-doo. Are you worshiping when you're here? Are you giving thanks? Are you giving back to the Creator and what He's given you? Are we doing those things? Or are we just... What does He say? Not my words. He says, for its maker trusts in his own handiwork. He fashions his speechless idols. He says, or this image, a teacher of falsehood. That's a teacher of falsehood at its finest. And Satan knows exactly what he's doing. Satan knows these are psychological games. And he knows if I can get these people to believe in this while I'm doing something over here for them, creating a nice dark place for them. And we run to it. We uphold those things that are shameful, and sometimes the things that are really honorable, we kind of ignore. Verse 20. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. God is at work, whether we believe it or not, or whether you acknowledge it or not. God is at work every moment of the day. How do you think we're living and breathing right now? God is always at work. Whether you're sleeping or whether you're awake or asleep, God is at work. And He's doing magnificent work. Just because we lose faith, He doesn't lose power. Because we sleep, He's awake. Because we're weak and insecure, He's still powerful and protects. God is good. God is good. He is magnificent. And we have no need to question who He is, or His action, or His methods. However, we are to cooperate, submit, and go. And be silent and listen to what He's going to say to us so we know how to react. Amen? But the Lord is in His holy temple. So how will the righteous, back to chapter 2, verse 4, how will the righteous live by their faith? In the way they act, in the way we ask, in the way our lifestyle is, not that bloodshed, the violence, the lying, creating these images, these false teachers, this, we're not about that. So we will live by our faith in the way that we live, the lifestyle. We will live by how do we live by our faith? We will live in our faith by the way we wait and are silent before God, waiting to be obedient servants as we should be. How else? Oh, do we live by our faith? We live by our faith in the way we submit and revere God. Look at chapter 3. This is beautiful. This is a piece of music that is sung with excitement. This is like a victory chant. So we see the attitude and the this is an emotional song, a signaoth, and then this is what this is. So Habakkuk is basically, he's gone through this emotional roller coaster with God. We go through this emotional roller coaster with God. Well, we question God. God, when are you going to do something? When? And then we get told what it is, and we gotta, okay, God, you got it. But I'm still nervous because I fear, and I don't know everything you know, God. I just need some help. And he coddles him, and he holds him, and he embraces, God embraces him, and he embraces God, and he says, you know what? You're in your holy temple, and I'm gonna be silent before you. And then this is a prayer for Habakkuk. This, like I said, it's a piece of music that is, of excitement. It's a victory chant, and it's also highly emotional. And then verse 2 of chapter 3, he says, Lord, I have heard... Just listen to this humility he has now. His whole attitude has changed. He says, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. I fear. We fear. Tomorrow's so uncertain. Where our kids are going to be, where you're going to be. It gets this emotional ride. And God, I don't know what's next, but I need you to embrace me. And I need you to hold me. and I need you to guide me. And I've heard the report, and I fear. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, please remember mercy. Who in here, I want to know, raise your hand. Who in here can stand before God and say, I have a case against you, God, and I deserve your mercy. I've done enough good. I'm pretty good, God. I got your mercy. Right. So what we do is we have to be humble in wrath. Please, God, remember mercy. What's the song we sing? My one defense is my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Oh, God, how I need you. In wrath, please remember mercy. Because the only thing we deserve is to be outside of your presence, away from it. But God, because he remembers, because of his mercy, because his grace and love and kindness. God comes from Tinan, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, the power of God. And there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. This gospel, he stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Kashan and under distress, the tent, the curtains of Midian and that were trembling. Did the Lord rage against the river? Or was your anger against the rivers? Or was your wrath against the sea that rode on your horses, on your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made bare. I mean, God is all powerful. There's nothing that can stand against God. Verse 11, he says, the sun and moon stood in their places. They went away at the light of your arrows and the radiance of your gleaming spear. The indignation, you marched through the earth in your anger, you trampled the nations. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You struck the head of the house of evil to lay him open from thigh to neck. You pierced him with his own spear, the head of his throngs. They stormed in to scatter us. Their exultation was like those who devour the oppressed in secret. You trampled on the sea with your horses, on the surge of many waters. I heard my inward parts tremble at the sound of my lip, at the sound of you, God. My lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I trembled. That's in the presence of God right there. You can't stand in the presence of God. I heard my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quiver, decay entered my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though you yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flocks should be cut off in the fold, and there be no cattle in the stall, yet I will. So after all these things, when we come in, this is beautiful language, and Habakkuk is saying, God, I know you're going to send those people in to destroy us, because you have to discipline our people, and you have to handle business, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to wait for the next thing you tell me to do. I'm a complainer. I complain a lot. Whew. I complain. I'm like, man, I wish this, I want this, I can't stand seeing this and that. And there are times where I have to, when I'm praying to God, I'm like, you know, God, let me just sit back, shut up, and just listen. Because what I'm doing is not helping anything. Let me know my place. And so I sit, and verse 18 is what we should be doing. I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hind's feet and makes me walk on my high places. The high places, that's our pride. The high places are our most, the things we adore. God says, bring them down and trample on them. Break your own heart at times. We had to break our own hearts at times. Walk on my high places. And this is Habakkuk. So Habakkuk changed his view and has accepted with faith the plan and strategy of God's handling and salvation and the way he's going to execute. And we have got to do the same. We have to do the same. We have to believe in God's salvation. What did he say in chapter 2, verse 4? He says, but the righteous will live by his faith in the way we ask, in the way we live, in the way we wait, in the way we revere God. The righteous will live by their faith. You will live by your faith in God alone. Amen? Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. If you wonder why your life sometimes isn't going so well, look at yourself inside and see what's going on, because I promise you, if your life is not going as it should be going, and you don't have that peace and that confidence like you should, that spiritual confidence in Christ, then you might be in the process of being disciplined by God. I'm not saying that's what it is, I'm just saying, take it into consideration. Chapter 12, verse 4. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My sons, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons at all. Therefore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time and seem best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen with the hand that are weak and kneels at the feeble. So, I mean, we are, at times, you may be being disciplined by the Lord. It's a possibility. Those people, I mean, look around at the world, look at your city, look at your community. God uses others to discipline his people. Don't look out there and wonder what's going on. Just know that you need to be silent before the Lord. He said, I'm not being silent before the Lord. We got to be silent before the Lord and know our place and know that he is in control of everything, and he is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent everywhere all the time, and he is very, very powerful. He's always in control. We don't have to question the strategy. We don't have to question the action of God. We just need to have faith, so that we can remain in our salvation with God. So if you have not been in the presence of God in your way, then there's a time here set aside that you can get right with God and come back to him. Definitely come back to him. He's always leaving that door open until it's never too late, until it's too late. But if you have a need this morning, and you want to surrender to the gospel of Christ Jesus, being baptized in Christ Jesus alone to receive the Holy Spirit, then that time is set aside right now as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.